This is Barry Tyker of the Oral History Project. Today is May 16th, the year 2000. I'm seated in the Chadburn Cafeteria at 8 in the morning with Katie Givens, and we're going to do a follow-up interview for the interview we did last fall. I believe it was in August or September, something like that. And we're going to catch up with Katie and with CRC during this last academic year. Katie, let's start off by looking at you. What were your personal goals this past year at CRC? Did you have any?
Yeah, I'd say I definitely had some goals. Last year I was chair of the forum, so I had a pretty different perspective about Chadburn. And I knew that this year I wanted to really connect with residents and connect with just living here in a really different way than I had before. And I think that included, besides the fact that I was going from leadership in the whole building to leadership on one floor, it also things were changing, because when you come back as a junior and especially as a staff member, a lot of your friends have left. And while I still am incredibly close to many people in this building, and I still consider this central to my social life on campus and etc., it really is different when you come back as a junior, because this place is mostly sophomores and freshmen. So the people that I was here with, that were here with me when I was a freshman, and we were starting CRC and everything, like, this was definitely the first year that I felt like most of those people were not here anymore, and it was really like a new place, and that was really cool in a lot of ways, because I could watch people like really take it over and make CRC, really prove that the whole idea of CRC, which is like people recreating CRC every year, I could see how that was going to be true. And I also could see how like my role could change from being something where I was creating things to like where I was like really helping other people,
facilitating.
Like, yeah, so. Exactly. And I definitely, one of my goals was to learn how to create community on like a floor, on a floor level instead of a building wide level. And it's really different when you're connecting with residents when it's on their personal issues, like when they break up with their boyfriend, or really serious mental health crises, or when they're stressed out about school, or when their parents are having problems with their parents. It's a really different way of connecting with people than just doing building wide programming with your peers. And so that was it's a job that you really feel like you're in a fishbowl a lot of the time. Like people are constantly watching you, and you really get very close to the 68 people that live on the floor with you. So I think my goals really were to learn about that new kind of connecting with a different kind of community, and to really like redefine who I was in Chadburn.
Were you successful in achieving those goals, do you think?
I'm really happy with how the year turned out. Last night or two nights ago, I finished my last house email newsletter to my floor. And I was writing, just telling them, and I said, well, you're going to have to deal with it. I'm going to get a little bit sappy here. And, I was saying that, like, I honestly couldn't have asked for a better floor this year. I've learned just so much from them. And I had an almost entirely freshman floor, which I think makes a big difference, because first-year students have a ton of energy that a lot of times returning students don't have. And I knew absolutely none of them when they came in. There were like five returning students, like sophomores on the floor that I didn't know too well. And so, it was 68 strangers, and I couldn't have asked for a better floor. They had so much energy all the time, and my floor is known for a lot of just loud personalities, loud literally, and just loud in personality. I think my goal was achieved in that, like, I would come home from classes at the end of the day, and I would be happy to come, like, I would like coming up the stairs and like coming onto the floor and like hearing different voices, and just being able to interact with people and just play with them, just like have that common kind of space. And I just was really excited to come home at the end of the day.
Well, now, you didn't know them, but they didn't know you either.
Yeah.
They didn't know that you were the forum chair and that kind
that
of
was
stuff.
Great. That was great. I don't know, that may have been done on purpose too, I think. But that was really, I think that helped a lot. Because like I was trying really hard to see everything from a fresh perspective, and they had to be seeing things from a fresh perspective.
Right.
They didn't have
fresh
much choice.
Yep.
Yeah. and so I think that was.
How did
a lot.
You go about your floor? How did you go about educating them about CRC? I mean, you have a history here now.
Right.
You're not,
exactly.
You're You're not new guys. How did you do that?
Well, that was a big deal to me that one thing that was important to me was that they saw that I was really, because it's just so consistent that like residents will follow like how house fellow, they'll watch how their house fellow is involved. They'll watch if their house fellow goes to forum meetings. They'll watch if their house fellow like how they interact with other people in the cafeteria. They'll watch whether they go to events or not, and whether they go to the FACS deaf dinners or not, and whether they like are really good about putting up the signs for all the CRC stuff. And there's a lot of signs, and that's a big pain to be putting up all the signs all the time. But they'll watch how they do that. And every household has a different way of doing it. And, you know, there's some households that are probably, you know, better at some parts than I am at various things. But one thing I did at my first house meeting was I asked my returning students who I didn't know very well, so I was taking a chance. You know, and, you know, it was like the first day that people had moved in, and I was running around with, like, my head, chicken with my head cut off. And I said, would you guys be willing, when we do this house meeting, would you say something about what it's like to live in Chadbourne? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, okay. they weren't very involved residents. And I got to be really close with them by the end of the year, especially a couple of them live next door to me. But they said something like, they said, I was really happy about this. They said, well, I didn't really do much this last year, but I can tell you guys that Chadbourne's a really cool, like, it's a really nice place to live. People are really nice here. You don't have to do stuff here if you don't want to, so don't feel like, you know, there's all this stuff and you're required to do it. What else did they say? They said, just also that there's just a lot of different kinds of things to do here, and people are really nice. Mm. And those are the, and I, when I talked to some first-year students later, like, on second semester, they said that the fact that those returning students said that was really important. So I think my challenge was also always that, like, I'd be telling them about Chadbourne in a way that was really genuine, because I think I could have, like, knocked on doors and said, hey guys, want to go to this CRC thing, you know, and it could have come off as really, like, artificial. And because, you know, there's tons of people, Badger buddies and returning students and house fellows and mission group leaders and support staff and tons of people who are trying to get first-year students involved that first semester, and they don't, they're, you know, they have their sort of BS detectors up high, you know.
Yes.
they want to be sure that, like, they're not being sold something, they're not going to, you know, be sucked into something that, you know, isn't cool, or they don't want to be the ones that are naive, because they already feel naive in every other way. So that was really important to me, to always, like, when I was going around and talking to them about, hey, you know, this thing's going on, blah, 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 like, not making them feel like they were expected to go, and not making them feel like, hey, like, I'm judging you on whether you're going to be a good resident on whether or not you're going to this. So what were some other things about how I let them know?
By the end of the year, did you feel that your floor was more involved in the quote CRC experience than other floors?
Yeah.
Or could you make that judgment?
Definitely. I would say my floor is one of the most involved ones, but I don't attribute that. That is, I mean, it's so hard to, like, say what the causes are of, like, whether a floor is really involved or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to do with the house fellow's personality, but, like, on the other hand, how can you say that one personality shapes, like, the way that's, I mean, I think I had an influence, but also, like, it had to do with the fact that they're freshmen, and it had to do with the fact that a lot of them just really are, you know, wanting to be involved, came in wanting to be involved. So when I say this, I'm not saying that I'm solely responsible for this, but definitely, like, my floor won the scavenger hunt with fourth floor, and then when, like, the two big building-wide events are the scavenger hunt and the Olympics, the competitive events.
Still, those are
carry. That's been a tradition, and we won both of them.
We were
different teams both times. Like, we were paired with two different male floors, but we were the consistent champions this year.
Perhaps you didn't make it happen,
right,
but you permitted it to happen. You allowed them to extend themselves to make it.
I hope that I gave them a space to do that. Yeah, I think it was.
What about other house fellows? You have how many floors here at Chadbourne?
10.
So you have
there's 11 floors. 10.
You have 10 house fellows.
10 house fellows.
When the house fellows come, how many? Well, let's look at this year's crop, for example.
Okay.
Bull crop. How many of them were returning house fellows approximately? Do you know?
Well, this year, let's see. Let me just think through here. We had three house fellows transfer in. I'm talking just about Chadbourne, not about Barnard, but Barnard does count for something because they're counted in on our staff. Three return house fellows that were transferred in. One was One came in as a second year house fellow from Witte, and then two were first year, you know, this is their first time being a house fellow, and they came in, oh, I'm sorry, one came in as a second year house fellow from Aug, and the other two were first year house fellows, and they were from Witte. Those were three male house fellows. And then there were two others. One was a returning house fellow. I'm talking about the five males now. One was a returning, and then the fifth one, so two, five, and one had been in CRC his freshman year and
as a student,
and then was someplace else a sophomore year and then came back.
Okay.
So of the male house fellows, you had a returner and you had a lot of people who were transferring in. The five female house fellows, you had me, Sarah Hall, who've been here the whole time. Actually, four out of the five, no, all of us, all the female house fellows had been here, only lived in Chapman.
When you first came to, when the semester started, or
right.
before the semester started, when you got together, these people were fairly familiar with what CRC was about? And were the transfers into CRC
right.
specifically, the people who transferred?
They definitely came in, and they'll attest now to the fact that they were nervous about having a lot to learn about Chadbourne and not being necessarily familiar with it. And it was kind of a struggle at the beginning of the year.
Did they find that they had problems adjusting? Or I'm asking you to
speak
for them.
Yeah,
I know that's not fair,
right.
but from what you're
from
you
my perspective, yeah,
said.
From my perspective. I'd say that there was a little bit of tension, a little bit of tension about like what the CRC thing was, how our community operated a little differently than others, because you know all communities are different. And what the different kinds of expectations for staff members here are, and things that were really just really more intuitive for people who'd been here longer were sort of a struggle for them. That's from my perspective, I'd say.
Okay. House fellows in other dorms, do you guys have is there a house fellow association?
Nope.
There isn't.
There's sometimes, like, at the very beginning of the year in August, we'll do, like, house fellow training, mm-hmm. and so we'll see house fellows from all over
mm-hmm.
campus. And then sometimes in the fall semester, or in the spring semester, the beginning of the year, before residents come back and all the house fellows are here, they'll get us all together again. But usually, like, the general sense is that house fellows will say, you know, like, we don't see each other all year, you know,
yeah.
the communities are separate, and so why, you know, like, we're and this is campus-wide, house fellows will say this, you know, like, we're busy bonding with our own building, you know. But, you know, on the other hand, like, a lot of times we'll have friends because, you know, we've all been in housing for a long time, so we'll know each other. So basically, no.
Is that good?
I think it's okay. I think it really, on this campus, especially since it's so large, I think really, like, the residential communities, like, whether you're talking about Southeast or Lakeshore or Chadbourne or Liz or whatever, I really think that they all have their own culture. I really think it's important to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the tendency, this is from my perspective, and this is from my perspective only living in Chadbourne, and that's important to say. I think sometimes there's the philosophy that things in housing all need to be really the same and sort of
mm-hmm.
Equalized.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's a really important philosophy, I think, on the culture of this campus,
mm-hmm.
like that everyone needs to be equal, and I think it's a really important
mm-hmm.
one. But I think that sometimes plays itself out.
There was a civil rights movement
yeah,
based on that
right,
very same
right.
thing. Yes.
right.
Among others, go ahead.
Very important. I think that sometimes plays itself out, though, in and a lot of communities aren't allowed to sort of cultivate their own, you know, their own culture and be really different. And when a first-year student comes in to UW-Madison and is trying to decide where to live, or even if they're just touring campus and the guide is saying, and this is the, you know, this is Aug Hall, this is Chadbourne Hall, this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think what people who are representing UW-Madison and people who are representing housing, it's just very, 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 they're strongly encouraged, well, I don't know, they're required to be very unbiased about which one is which.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to not give negative stigmatism,
mm-hmm.
you know, like
mm-hmm.
stigmas
mm-hmm.
to any community or say that one is better than the other. I think that would just be the wrong way to go, because I think that they're all so different and there is just so much of each of them has to offer. But I would say that it's almost, it's unfair instead of fair. It's it's unfair to make them all completely equal and homogenized. And I think that by letting each culture like develop its own local personality, whether it's, okay, this is a hall where, you know, there's a lot of international students and like there's a lot of different kinds of multicultural stuff that's going on, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, and that's a cool place for, you know, people who like this thing and this thing and this thing might like this. Or in this hall, a ton of athletic stuff tends to go on. You know, they have a lot of, or like, you know, in this hall, like, this is where a lot of, like, they have one particular floor where a lot of engineers gather, or, or you know, just in different philosophies and different, you know, personalities for each hall. I think that's really important to develop that.
Accounting for individual differences and sort of group differences.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think back to, like, how I chose this place, and I was just talking with my old roommate. She's moved out of Chadbourne since, and we were talking the other day about how, why we chose Chadbourne. We were telling somebody about Chadbourne. And they said, well, how did you choose Chadbourne? How did you know anything about it? We both said, well, we just got a pamphlet. Like, we just got a brochure in the mail, and that was it. Like, and we picked the one that looks different. We picked the one that, like, looked like it had something about it. We picked the one that was more than a paragraph of description about the facility itself. And I think that's what people want. That's what people are looking for. They're looking, I think students right now are looking for some place to connect with people. That's what they want. You know, they don't necessarily, I mean, it's important where, look, you know, everybody's going to look for something different, but they want to know something substantive about the place where they're going. They're going to live there.
You said something about each dorm has its own culture and whatnot. Describe for me briefly, or just in much details, like, what's the culture of Chadbourne? You've had you've had some time to absorb it now.
Chadbourne is a place where people know each other. And where, especially by the end of the year, people know each other across, you know, vertically through the building. And in a high-rise dorm of 700 people, that's, you know, to use a Bill Cronin word, non-trivial, non-trivial thing. it's a place where people really care about where they live, and it's a place where people. It's okay to be really active and really involved in things. And I don't know, I like Chadbourne culture this year to me, like there's, and every year I've found like some different part of Chadbourne that I really like. This year for me, I've, the part that I found about Chadbourne that I love is when I go on rounds, which is like what households do, like late at night.
You do it at late at night.
Yeah, we do, so we do that at like 11 or midnight. And you know, that's when students, that's when everybody's home finally for the day, and that's when people are studying or, you know, hanging out. And that's what I love the most, is like walking through the building and just, and seeing how much people from all over the building really connect with each other, and how willing people are in this building to play with each other, and how willing they are to study with each other, and how willing they are to organize things with each other. And just getting, I mean, God, you just walk through the building and you just get this real sense of just connectedness everywhere. And I just, I don't know. I mean, when it comes down to it, that's why I love living here. And that's what I'm going to take from this place more than anything when I leave here and like look for what I want to do in the world.
Pretty important thing to take.
Yeah.
One very quick thing that I want to ask you. Early on, you guys had a fairly close relationship with Barnard. What about the House Fellows? Is there still a, is there still a relationship with Barnard?
Definitely. In fact, I'd say one of the strongest ties to Chadbourne is through the House Fellows, because they're on our staff, because, you know, Barnard House Fellows go on the same rotations, because we, when we do rounds, we do all through Chadbourne and through Barnard.
Oh.
So it's you know, all one unit. Chadbourne, or Barnard, is just such a dramatically different culture. I mean, it's upper class women. It's a quieter place. Which isn't to say that they aren't connected in their own ways.
Yeah,
they
well,
just have quieter, right. They just have a quieter way of doing it. I mean, like, you know, Chadbourne, which is like this just, I mean, people on campus who don't know Chadbourne just know it's this like hub of noise and activity. And and then, you know, Barnard is quieter than most dorms, let alone quieter than Chadbourne. So it's, they're definitely connected. You know, we share the cafeteria, and that's, you know, the biggest common space. So you know, they definitely involved in things that way. You know, a lot of Chadbourne women, every year a large group of women in Chadbourne who don't want to live in, you know, Chadbourne definitely has, is on the smaller end of rooms as far as like a smaller scale, smaller sized rooms. And so, and Barnard has much bigger rooms, and they're singles. And so it's a really great option for women who still want to be sort of involved.
Yeah, but, well, that is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Let's move to CRC as a whole for this past year. How would you, looking at CRC as an entire entity, how would you compare this past year with previous years? Were there any differences, noted differences?
Yeah.
Or was it just more of the same except with different people?
Right. Well, taking into account, of course, my very different perspective on it, being,
right.
you know, a resident
You're a
versus a
housefellow.
Right, right. I would say, for me, the biggest difference was that, like, the first generation of people who really created Chadbourne and the first-year students that were here creating it, you know, and who were sophomores last year, were gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And it really felt much, one of the big criticisms, and I still debate back and forth about whether this is true or, I don't know, it's a really easy thing to accuse, to, you know, say we did, but I don't know if we really did it, is that having like a clique of students who really were doing everything.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that was, I think that was much more true the first year than now, the first and second year more than now. And I think looking back, I think that had to happen just because we needed a core group of people who were really going to just pour everything
yeah.
into making this place, like creating some sort of foundation for it. But now, it's more than the first and second year, I really feel like this place offers a lot more different niches for people. Like there's just a lot more different kinds of holes and ways to
mm-hmm.
ways for people to jump in, and people who aren't involved, it feels like there's much less of a sentiment with them that they are being coerced or like, you know, they're because they're not really involved or because they have a job or because they, you know, this, that, or the other thing, they aren't part of Chadbourne,
mm-hmm.
you know, or that they somehow are on the outside of things, or, you know, people who are feeling marginalized, there's much, much less of that. I think there's a lot more, there's just so many more new different kinds of formal and informal positions that people, really, there's a bigger mix of people, different kinds of people.
You said earlier in this discussion that every year Chadbourne has to essentially reinvent itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it must by definition, because
mm-hmm.
you want students to participate, and the only way they're going to participate is by doing something,
yep.
you know, creating something.
Definitely.
How did that work this year?
I think the way it worked this year was pretty similar to the way it worked last year, in that, I mean, this place is so dependent on first-year students to come in and really have a different kind of energy and come in and do Olympics and, you know, organize Olympics in a really different way than it ever had been organized. I mean, every year it's organized really differently. And it really is just dependent on first-years to decide, you know. It's usually, especially in the first semester, it's the sophomores who are organizing programs, and like, and there's a more formalized structure to things. But it still is the first year students who decide which ones are going to be the popular ones,
mm-hmm.
which ones are going to, you know, maybe this year fact staff dinners are going to be, you know, a really, you know, first semester are just going to take off, or maybe they aren't. So I think in recreating the community, I think the first year students are just key every year to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your question? Like, you wanted to know
how successful you were at reinventing.
I think that especially with what I said before about people feeling like there's more ways that they can find a niche here, I think that's how
been interesting for you from a housefellow perspective, because were you able to identify early the students you thought would really take off, or were there sleepers who just sort of came on as the year went on?
Yeah, I learned so much like in that way, because there were students that, like, and you know, housefellows had told me this before and I had it in the back of my head, but it's just really different when it happens. Like, you see students come in and, you know, as you're interacting with people, you just think, okay, that resident is not going to do jack, and, you know, all year, like, that they're, I can tell that they're not really into this, and like, you know, I don't want to push them too much. And then there's residents you think are just going to like take off, and you're like, whoa, they have so much energy, and I can just see them in spring like being really great. And you know, I can think of, you know, one of my residents in particular, Megan Scott, who just like was just so into the play and so into everything, and just like was so dynamic and loud on the floor, the play first semester, that is, the CRC play. And then, like, and I thought, oh man, boy, she's just a perspective, like, you know, like maybe next year she'd be mission group leader or something. And like, that just wasn't, she just didn't go on this like track that I imagined her going on, which was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she just really like took second semester and needed to like figure some other stuff out for herself.
Maybe she got what she needed.
Right. She got what she needed. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is part
exactly.
of what you guys are about. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. She got what she needed first semester, and then there are other residents that just, I thought, like, you know, I'll just remember stories of things they said or did that are just like off the wall, or just show just things like anti-CRC things that they would say, like, I don't want to be involved in any of this stuff, you know. And then later on, like, I can think of one of those people in particular who, you know, is going to be a mission group leader next year, and she's just so excited about everything, and it's so great. So, well, I'd say most of the time I can usually tell where people are with things. Like, I'm always surprised, usually pleasantly this year, by, like, how they want to be involved.
What about the staff this year? Now, what about any changes or differences there? Bill Cronin's a separate story. We're going to talk about Bill at the end, because obviously he kind of separated a little bit this year, and we're going to get into him and his replacement and the person who was thought to be his replacement and stuff like that in a bit. But what about the core staff? Was that intact all year?
I'd say we definitely had some ups and downs this year with staff. I'd say that there were some stylistic differences in the way that we went about discipline and the way that, like, because I think, you know, this isn't something that's ever, you know, highlighted in Chadbourne, but it's, you know, discipline and all that kind of stuff has to happen
as
it happens every place else. But it's something that we sort of forget when we talk about Chadbourne stuff. Sometimes we tend to talk about, like, okay, this is the, you know, the more housefellowy type of stuff that nobody really pays attention to, or people, but the thing is, people really do pay attention to it. And the Chadbourne stuff, the, you know, all the cool extracurricular stuff. But you know, how people interact on floors and how people, like, feel like they're safe here, you know, as far as, like, you know, the way people act on weekends and, you know, any of that kind of stuff is really important too. And so the way I'm relating this to staff this year, it's just that there were some, like, tensions. There was, like, a about how house fellows were doing discipline type of things.
So basically you're talking about the house fellows thing.
Yeah.
Not the permanent or the...
Right. Right, not like the mission
like
leaders.
Not like
Scott and Jen and Bill. Oh, is that what you want?
That's what I was asking. But finish your thought.
Okay, there were just some things this year about how discipline happened, and there was just a series of incidents, like alcohol related, etc. And there ended up being residence rights interest group formed. Just people that really wanted attention. Like, it was a small group of people who'd been involved in one incident and felt like the housefellows hadn't handled it right. And, like, they were just up in arms. And I was minimally involved in this, and I don't know a whole lot of the details. But I know that it caused an upset for, and Bill was involved in this, so you could ask him too.
Okay.
And I think it just was, like, sort of a bump in the road as far as, like, how our staff really integrated, as far as, like, people coming in from that aren't from Chadbourne, which isn't to say at all that they weren't, like, over the top house fellows, not to say that at all, but, like, there were just a few more bumps and a lot more time and energy that had to be poured into, like getting them up to speed on how Chadbourne worked.
Well, you guys are at a different point now than you were 2 or 3 years ago. You're still reinventing, but the foundation is there, so
definitely.
There's more of a culture that people have to sort of move into.
Yeah,
you know?
There definitely is a consistency of values.
Not quite as fluid,
perhaps,
as it was.
Exactly.
What
did you mean with the staff? What was your original question?
Well, the original question is, what about the staff this past year? Was it the same staff? Were there any changes? I'm talking about Jen and Scott.
Scott Seiforth and Jen Gilbride Brown are the two residence life coordinators here, and then Bill Cronin, and then Mercedes Ramirez Fernandez, who's the academic advisor. So Mercedes, Bill, Jen, and Scott, Bill Cronin, faculty director. Were the same, and it started out, I don't know if you want to get into this yet, like, Rich Killing was the associate.
Let's say that.
Okay.
Basically everything
was the same.
What I was asking about. Weren't you going to start a new government set up this year? Wasn't the student government going to change?
It was different.
Let's briefly summarize where you were last year, and then talk about the shift into this year.
Yep. Okay, so in the last 2 years, we've had different forms of a CRC board. And that's different than the CRC forum. The CRC forum is like the town hall gathering of people, and that's really everybody. Then you had this board that was sort of like a student council-y type of thing, and it wasn't meant to be, but it just never worked. It always caused, and finally, like, this past year, it decided, like, what if we didn't have the CRC board? And it was unbelievable how much, like, not only did what were things better without the board, but like, it was like, why did we ever have that thing in the first place? I remember the first meeting, we were so worried about like how we were losing like the theatrics of like having CRC board elections in the fall. Because that was one of the things that brought residents down. Like, okay, I'm going to be voting on something. That, you know, that this is like the first couple weeks of school when like a lot of first year students are like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, right.
But this they knew about, you know, this they understood, okay, I'm going to vote for people who are doing stuff. But that turned out to be really disempowering. And you know what? This year, residents still came down in herds for the first forum meeting, which is, you know, the most important part. And so, you know, A, people were not... people didn't not come because there wasn't a CRC board elections. And B, like, people felt, I mean, when all these things had to be happening and all these, like, things had to be taken up that had been done by CRC board people before, this year, like, we just decided to ask people at the forum to do stuff. And hey, it worked. And people took on, I mean, and a lot of times it was first year students who, like, took on, you know, running the scavenger hunt and doing this and doing that. And it was like, well, that was the whole goal of Chad Run in the first place. Why did we ever do it the other way?
So didn't they take care of fines and do minor money matter?
Yep.
Didn't they do money matters?
Yeah, yeah. So this time, that was good.
So we're talking about a few other changes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the two other like structural changes were the CRC Finance Committee and the CRC like the Forum Agenda Setting Committee. And the Agenda Setting Committee really didn't. I don't know. I think you'll have to ask Jen or Bill or whoever else you interview, because that was one thing I wasn't clear on. But I remember hearing that like the Forum Agenda Setting Committee really just didn't have a whole lot of direction and a whole lot of people didn't come. I mean, like, you know, there was a big concern last year, like, oh, you know, who's going to set what happens at the forum? And like, that's really disempowering if just the chair is deciding everything that's going to happen at the forum. But really, like, the forum is a really, like, things sort of, the agenda sort of naturally develops on its own. Like, okay, this week, what's some stuff that's coming up? Okay, we'll talk about that. What are some issues that people have been talking about? Okay, we'll talk about that. And it didn't feel like something that was critical enough to, like, hold a whole separate meeting and make sure that people who wanted to come could come and, like, we're going to set the agenda for this thing.
Kind of organic.
So I don't know how that went so well. I think it turned out to be not that necessary. But then you had the Finance Committee, and the Finance Committee was, people had to sort of apply to be on it, and it was a really great group of people. It wasn't people who were interested in, like, you know, I'm gonna show that I'm in charge here. And that was one of the biggest problems with the board, is that you had people who were, like, you know, on the board, and like sometimes people were on the board to show, you know, like, because, and it was like, you know, they wanted to do good things, but also it was about like, okay, I'm a leader here, you know, I'm gonna do stuff. And that wasn't what the people in the CRC Finance Committee were about. Like, I mean, they're there to like help people, they're there to make decisions about money. And basically, like, anybody who wants to spend money in Chadbourne goes to the Finance Committee first. If it's under $100, the Finance Committee can just say, okay, here you go, if they think it's okay. And almost all, like 95% of the time, money gets spent. Like, we have tons of money, and like, residents can, you know, residents have ideas, they get money. If it's over $100, they'll, for one thing, they'll like sort of help that person like sort of think through the questions that the forum is going to ask them, and like help them think through the logistics of how the money is going to be spent, and just sort of do the preliminary stuff so the forum doesn't have to say, well, didn't you think of this and didn't you think of that, and like, you can't spend money if you're going to do this or that. And so where was I going with that? So we had the Finance Committee. That worked really well.
So just give me an example. A couple of students come to the Finance Board and say, I need $65.18 for...
Right.
What might they be asking? I
mean, let's see. Oh, excuse me. God, there's so many things.
Money for posters?
All right, I'll track two different kinds of events, because, like, and they'll sort of represent, like, the really different things. One would be like the community service mission group needs like $300 to set up like a pumpkin carving or a Halloween thing. Well, this is one of the big events in the first semester. They do this big Halloween thing for kids from underprivileged neighborhoods and stuff like that to come in, and they do this huge haunted house in the basement. They do all this face painting stuff, and they do like trick or treat. They organize trick or treating throughout the building, which is a non-trivial, quote unquote, non-trivial thing. And so they come, they go, and they're a much more organized sort of institutionalized place in Chadbourne. So they have the mission group, and they'll go to the finance committee, or they might just go straight to the forum, actually, because, like, they're a mission group. So they, you know, like, they're already an organized group. So they'll go to the forum, they'll explain what the money's necessary. You know, a first-year student will usually, like, representing the mission group, not the mission group leader, which is, like, such a Chadbourne thing. Get a first-year student to do it, not the mission group leader, to, you know, get up and, you know, be empowered to, you know, ask for the money. So let's ask the money for money for the forum. The other kind of event would be like, say a resident, you know, like this is a perfect example of like a resident who's not necessarily like really, really, really involved, but just wants to do a cool thing. Like he wants to show a Rocky movie, you know, like Rocky IV or something. And he goes to the finance committee and he says, hey, I want to do this Rocky IV movie and I want Rocky Rococo pizza with it. And you know, I'll organize it for the building. And so he goes and gets, and they say, okay, well, did you think of this and this? And here's how you get the purchase order for Rocky Rococo, and this is how you do this. And so then he goes to the forum and he's like, okay, I'm doing a Rocky IV thing. You know, everybody can come down and, you know. And so that just shows, like, that, you know, that's, it just shows a very wide range of, like, community service type events to, like, backstaff things where you have, like, formal speakers, like, the senators coming in, and then you have, like, Rocky IV.
Yeah, just, so that's just alone.
Right.
So let's look at, so I get all the layers right. At the faculty, or at the university level, you have a steering committee?
Yeah.
Is that the highest up you go now?
The steering, well, you have, there's two kind of high, there's the CRC steering committee, and then there's the CRC advisory board. Mm-hmm. But the CRC advisory committee only meets on, once a semester, and I think there's like 60 people invited, administrators, really wide, and like that's led by the faculty director, and the faculty director will usually sit down and say, this is kind of what's going on in Chadbourne, right, you know, this year, and this is a big problem we're struggling with, and then we'll talk about like, okay, on this campus, it's hard for faculty to feel comfortable getting involved with students, how do we solve that problem, or the faculty director is leaving next year, how do we make it so that this place isn't like, oh, Bill's gone, we're not, you know, like, Chadbourne was great when Bill was here, thing, yeah. So they'll struggle with, like, a problem. But then every other week or once or twice a month, the steering committee will meet, and that's sort of the more, like, it's a smaller group, and it's a more core group, and that includes a lot of people from housing, like Paul Evans and Kay Ritter Crone, somebody from the Mortgage Center, and Susan Van High, and then Jen and Scott and Bill, and the program advisor, and one house fellow, usually a second year, always a second year house fellow, one first year student, and usually, like, if we can, we get a student of color to be on the committee. And then the chair of the forum is on the committee. And they make decisions about, they have a separate budget that's like a bigger budget, and they make decisions about things like sound system. They'll make sort of like
or macro decisions.
Yeah, macro decisions. But what do I want to say? Buildings, capital. They'll like more capital expenditures. And then or they'll if there's an event like that. There's a bigger like. Or they'll make decisions about like, okay, so after in the fall, you know, the faculty do this picnic lunch with first year students, and like that's one of the first defining of events of the year. Well, afterwards, all the faculty will get together on the Lakeshore Cafe, and they'll like all have beer, and you know, like it's just faculty, and that's something that steering pays for. There's just a lot of steering, like stuff that students don't necessarily see that steering funds.
Can something go before the steering committee that sort of student generated and then it moves up to that level, or is that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's a close enough, you know, and like, you know, more sort of like an intuitive like bond between steering and the forum, in that like, you know, the faculty director is, you know, in charge of the steering committee. And, you know, like a lot of the people who are at the forum are also at steering. And so they're able to like, you know, if there's some sort of problem or something. You mean, do you mean like if students want money, they can
go? Well, if students, yeah, or an issue gets generated at the student level and then moves up to steering. Is that a viable thing?
They can. There never has been, I don't think, any instance where like students have gone to steering and like you know, attended a steering meeting.
If there was a connection or an avenue, rather, between those two.
Usually it's like issues that are going on in the building or like housing-wide sort of tensions or different things that are going on at the forum. Like students that are on this on the steering committee will represent things that are going on in the building.
Okay. And then at the student level we have the forum, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then the board has been sort of broken down into this the financial thing and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially student essentially government at chamber.
Yep. Okay. Well, and then you've got the mission groups, and that's a major thing too.
What about mission groups? Let's next on my list here. How did they go this year? Any additions, subtractions, significant changes in the mission groups?
One big, really positive significant change was the fact that like last year we were looking at the mission groups that were doing really well, and it was the ones with support staff.
Mm.
And really we'd just given support staff to like the community service mission group because that staff person had a connection with Mortgage Center. Like the community staff, because you've got, okay, in a mission group you've got the mission group chair and you've got the mission group support staff.
Mm-hmm.
Support staff does like, is the paid one, and the mission group is the chair is not.
These are students. The students.
Yep, these are students here.
Okay.
Yep.
Students here.
So, and it's usually sophomores.
Okay.
And there's students that, like, it's sort of like the next level of formal involvement. And they, so you've got the support. It's an interesting sort of tension because you've got this partnership.
Mm-hmm.
One person's in charge of the group and not being paid, and one person does, like, it has defined hours and is sort of support staff and does, like, the publicity for everything and does, like, the phone calls to, you know, faculty if we're going to get faculty to something, or, like, makes reservations for buses if there's going to be some event, or just a lot of the stuff that, like, is grunt work and, you know, something that you should be paid for instead of just leadership-y, like, empowering stuff. But there's definite tension because those roles switch. Like sometimes the support staff is the one that's empowering students. Sometimes the mission group leader is the one that's making phone calls. So it's sort of a tension. Anyway, so last year you saw that like the support staff weren't, or the ones with support staff were doing just phenomenally better. And like the mission group leaders were much less stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that may seem like an obvious thing, but it wasn't an obvious thing at the time because we only had support staff for groups that like definitely needed it. Like Coffee House, we didn't have a support staff, but for the community service mission group we did, because the community service support staff has a person, like that person also has hours in the Mortgage Center and they're paid by the Mortgage Center. So there's a partnership there. And the other one that had was faculty staff mission group, because that person maintains the guest room, the guest suite for faculty. So, but then when we got for the other three mission groups, which would be, let's see, I said community service and fact staff, Coffee House is the third, the fourth is community, it was diversity, and then the fifth is Coffee House diversity. Academic. So, now all of them have support staff, and that's a huge, huge, huge benefit. And also the program advisor, that's a totally new position that's created this year. And that's like, in other halls it would sort of be called the senior house fellow, but this year the program advisor, there was a new apartment built over here. It was kind of a big deal, like infrastructure wise, and that's David O'Brien this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new apartment built in Barnard for that person, and basically like he's just a senior staff member, and he supervises the sound tech staff that we have this year. That's a new thing. He supervises the forum office staff. That's a new thing we have this year, having this whole staff of students that maintain the forum office instead of expecting a board to do it and having us argue about it all the time, because that's what we did. And he advises two of the mission groups, Coffee House, and then me next year, we'll pick another mission group to advise. And so he shares the roles with Jen, and just, it works so much better than last year.
So probably I need to interview Dave again sometime about this.
Definitely, about the position. Because he has had some, and you know, he's had some definite like lessons learned in defining a new role and giving it credibility here.
You mentioned academics. I think last time we talked, and correct me if I'm wrong, we were talking about that and you said you were looking to maybe increase the role of academics. Am I quoting you correctly? Let's talk about academics, that's all.
The academics mission group, I don't know a ton about. My floor didn't happen to be as involved in that one.
But what about academics in general? You were having some sections of different courses meeting here.
Academics in general. All right, so You've got sections, yeah, that's always worked well and continues to work well. Like having sections of larger lectures meet here, and sometimes whole classes meet here in the basement classrooms. That's a great thing because, especially first semester, we have a ton of them because like we have sections of Chem 104 and whatever big, like other big freshman classes that people have to take, like Math 223 or whatever it is. And so the sections of those classes will meet, and that's so key for freshmen who are trying to meet people on other floors, because when you're studying with people and when you're like taking class in your dorm, for one thing, it's just like, I mean, the most basic concrete connection you can make between like, you know, school and where you live, you know, when they're in the same place, which is, you know, so it's a really formal connection that works well. Besides classes, I would say about academics that study groups still continue to happen here, and tend to, they're just one of those things, they're just one of those things that just sort of happen.
On balance, there are all different, I think you went to the Vermont thing, yes, mm-hmm. We talked about that. And there are different kinds of residential colleges.
Yeah.
There are some that focus entirely on academics,
right,
and some that don't. On
Definitely.
Balance, where does Chadburn fit in that?
We're
in that continuum?
Way on the side of the spectrum that's more about extracurricular stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at other places nationwide. Basically because not only for, in terms of admission, anyone can be here, mm-hmm. that wants to be, and it's not based at all on any kind of GPA or anything like that. It's not an honors dorm. It's our mantra, not an honors dorm.
Even though it had ironically started out as perhaps just
right,
that.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right, right, exactly. But, where was I going with that? I think that in terms of compared to other places nationwide, I think that we're much more balanced towards the extracurricular. And because we don't require any courses when first year students come in, like there's no set core course or anything, no. And you're never required to take a class here while you're here.
Let's break away from the CRC perspective and go to the Katie Gibbons perspective. Is that good? Would you wish more academics, or do you think that you like the balance the way it's set up now?
I think I would want things to change if I felt like only really involved students were the ones mm-hmm. who were taking CRC courses. But really it has turned out that it's like students who are involved and not involved who are all taking classes in Chadburn and sort of like want to do that before they leave here. If only for the convenience of like, well, as long as I want to live here, I might as well take a class here when I only have to, you know, I can go down in my slippers or whatever. So because of that, I'd say it's successful, and I'd say I'd keep it about the same as it is now. The one thing I really would like to see changed is making it easier for, especially advisors at SOAR, and just in general, for us to be able to more easily get sections in Chadburn, like, and get it on the timetable, because it's incredibly hard. This is no one person's fault, certainly. It's just the culture of the campus, but like, everything is so decentralized that, I mean, it's so hard to deal with like the timetable and all the logistics that go into getting classes and finding professors and setting up the touchstone system and ISIS, that that word, setting up ISIS so that we can make it so that CRC students can touchstone in certain classes. So I would change that and make it easier for us to get classes in the first place, and I would increase the number of classes that were here, but I don't think that it should be required for students.
Just one more brief question on academics. You've had a whole floor now. How many students do you have on that?
68.
68 students. Are they pretty satisfied, do you think? That's the wrong way of saying
right.
it. Is there any demand for more or any requests for more academic type of stuff, or is that just not an issue?
I'd say with the personality of my floor, that hasn't been an issue.
Okay.
I mean, on my floor, actually, there's been more of an issue with, you know, just the fact that my floor tends to be pretty active at all hours,
right.
And so they want, so a lot of them want a more academic, quiet environment, which, you know, perfectly logical demands.
You mentioned something to me last week when we had a discussion, that you recently attended a breakfast. I was talking to Bill Cronin the other day, and he said that they've had a couple of these meetings where the chancellor, the provost, and a lot of other people, and people from housing and CRC, got together and in this case, it was a breakfast forum, but he said there had been another one at the formation early on in Chadburn, and you had a second one recently. Tell me about what happened, what that was about.
Okay, it was called a vision breakfast, I think that's
vision,
what it was called.
Vision,
vision breakfast,
it.
Yeah. And it was called by the chancellor. And I was, of course, I was, you know, a first year student and had little to do with any of this. I think it happened
to be
even,
yeah.
Yeah, the original one. I, you know, I don't think I was even here. But this one was called because the chancellor saw us at like another turning point, and like, and the fact that the bill was leaving, and the fact that that sort of we'd watched Chadbourne develop in the last 3 years. And I think also because he's, you know, Chancellor's leaving. Yeah, yeah. We're sort of a crossroads.
Probably a month before that.
Right.
Right before that.
Right, exactly. So we're at sort of a crossroads about, like, where things are going to go as far as residential learning communities on this campus are. And the Chancellor is a big fan of residential learning communities.
We're talking about Chancellor Ward, David Ward.
Oh, yeah, Chancellor David Ward, yeah. Yeah, the Chancellor is a big fan of learning communities, clearly. And he sees it as, like, it's just one of the things that he really sees that, you know, the future of higher education. That's where he's sitting. Yeah, yep, undergrad, definitely. So he called the breakfast to, and this is, you know, this is from what I can remember, so this may not be exactly right. He called it to talk about the direction of residential learning communities, talk about, like, one thing that was clear at that breakfast was that he wanted to, like, not talk about all the problems, not talk about how things evolved to the way they were evolving. We had an hour and a half, and we needed to talk about hard, cold things like, okay, this is the problem, let's identify solutions. And I think the thing that was really different for this meeting is I watched, like, housing people, like, you know, problems that we talked about for so long. When you have, like, the provost and the chancellor there, like, you just say things, and they happen. And we spend most of our time, like, talking about, like, how to get things to happen. But if when the chancellor's sitting there, it just is like he was just saying, okay, so tell me the problem. Okay, how can we solve it? Like, what do you want? And we'll give it to you. And that was like, it was like, oh, we don't have to sit here and talk about how we could possibly make it happen. It's just going to happen, which was great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, we'd get into, he would literally,
that's
like,
that's one of the best descriptions of power, I think,
right. And, like, and, you know, we'd get, people would start to trail off in these discussions, you know, logically about, you know, how to do this, and he would just cut things off. And so it was productive in getting different logistical things institutionalized for all of housing, like working on that problem I identified about the timetable and getting courses, and talking about how to reward faculty members for the stuff that they do in residential learning communities instead of penalizing them for them like they are by their departments for not you know, doing, working on getting tenure, etc. And that was a big deal. And also one important thing he touched on was, oh, I should say who was there too, at this thing.
David Ward,
the chancellor, and also, or the provost.
John Wiley, the provost.
John Wiley and John.
John Torfey.
Yep. Those are the three ones.
The troika.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then people from, there was a few students from Bradley, like, that had been there for, PLPs, or peer learning partners from Bradley. Those are, like, the house fellows over there. And then I think I was the Chadbourne representative. There was a representative, there was a student representative from Wise, and then one from, Wise, Bradley, Chadbourne. What's the other one? There's another learning community that I'm not thinking of. Okay. So you had the student representatives, you had the RLCs from all from these learning communities, and then you had a lot
resident
of administration,
residential
life coordinators. Yeah.
Right.
So, and then you had housing administration there, a lot of housing administration,
including Paul Evans.
Including Paul Evans, right? And yeah, a lot of residence life staff. So, and then people, a lot of some academic advisors on some cross college advising people too. Okay, so. The other thing that came out of the meeting was that ways that because it was talked about that, like, the way that residence life, and this is nationally, the way that residence life field vocation, like the way that field works, residence life staff, like the coordinators, are sort of, you're sort of rewarded, and it's how you work your way up to, like, get experience in a lot of different halls, and then eventually move up to a different, a different level. And so residence life coordinators are really rewarded for moving around a lot. And it was just, it's part of how that is. But it really, like, it was talked about how that's really destructive to the local culture, building, that kind of thing, and how, like, without Jen, if Jen and Scott left tomorrow, and other people came in, this place, oh my God, I mean, I cannot even imagine the kind of foundational stuff that would be lost. And so it was talked about how to sort of change that and make it so that staff were rewarded for staying in the same place for a long time instead of like encouraged to sort of switch around and mix and match and stuff. I think that's a good summary of that discussion. This is my perspective again. And then the other thing that was sort of talked about was, this is sort of a tougher subject, was how house follow selection happened. And this sort of relates to back what I said about the local culture versus,
right.
You know, broader, wider culture thing. And it was sort of talked about how there'd been some problems because people, and Chadbourne voiced this, and then Bradley definitely seconded this sentiment, like that, yeah, this has been a definite problem here, because there was something said, well, isn't that just a Chadbourne problem? And Bradley said, no, definitely not just a Chadbourne problem. But that the people, who the leadership in Chadbourne didn't feel like they were having, you know, that there needed to be more retention of house fellows in the same place where they'd been. It's basically like a
more opportunity for the different, for continuity in the
yeah,
house fellow thing,
yeah.
And choice
yep.
of certain people.
Yep.
A little less random. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair,
less of a tendency to want to make everybody, you know, have you know, look at a house fellow as sort of, you know, a Lego that could fit anywhere, you know, like
yeah,
the good house fellow could fit anywhere. Well, you know, not necessarily like,
okay,
a, you know, that kind of thing.
So where philosophy and interests, like you said,
right.
Maybe an where there's more engineering, you might want to have a house fellow who's
right.
An
exactly.
Engineer.
Yeah. Somebody who would be good in one hall wouldn't necessarily be good in another.
So trying to allow that mixing,
yep.
the match a little bit more rather yep. than just.
Yep, and allow for residence life coordinators and faculty directors in whatever place to bring information to the table about what kind of stuff that candidate had done in their hall, because that wasn't brought up at all either.
So, in your estimation, from what you've seen, David Ward seems to be a strong supporter of.
Oh, definitely.
Is there a correlation, you think, between the fact that Bill Cronin was about to leave and the chancellor called a meeting at this point?
Definitely.
Do you think he might have been showing his support for?
Yeah, I think, and whether or not it was Chadbourne specifically, I think he was showing his support for residence life. Like, it was kind of like he was stating, okay, we need this kind of stuff to stay here. We want to make sure we get the institutional support for it, or whatever kind of support it needs to like keep this thing going.
Well, let's talk about Bill Cronin for a little bit. First of all, Bill was supposed to be replaced by
Rich Keeling.
Tell me what happened there.
Okay. Well, Rich Keeling was director of University Health Services, and he was going to be the.
And he was active in CRC.
Yeah. To a certain extent, but not actually that active.
Okay.
He was incredible, and that was kind of, I don't know, kind of a concern. But I mean, there was a lot of people he really connected with, especially this year's forum chair. It was clear. It was definitely clear that he understood the values of Chadbourne, and he had enough connections, like nationally, and enough connections on campus, to know how Chad like to be. Because one of the most important roles of the faculty director is that they deal with a lot of the campus politics that Chadbourne encounters. He could do that. I don't remember what time of year it was. I guess it was sometime this fall, and like this is after like we'd gone the whole summer thinking Rich was going to be here, and like he'd gone on a retreat with Jen and Scott and Bill, and his, you know, his name's on a plaque at the faculty director office, you know, like associate director Rich Keeling, and all the publications, you know, like this is next year's faculty director, blah blah blah. Well, then it turns out that he his career turns in a completely different way, and after being here for a really long time, this was not something he expected at all. He you know, got an offer to be, you know, CEO of a company that was starting up for like in New York, and it was an absolutely fabulous opportunity that he and also he and his family couldn't really pass up, and so he needed to do that. And you know, he's said so many times, the one thing that I, you know, I'm most sorry to be missing is, you know, the chance to be director of Chadbourne. So Rich is out of the picture, and we panic. Right. So Bill spends hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours just, you know, poring over faculty and different candidates who could possibly be faculty director. Finding a faculty director for here is a really hard thing. Okay, so you can't have, there's tons, okay, you can't have any of the grad students who are involved here, obviously. And there's some grad students who, like, are really involved here and really get it and would be great in a formal position. You can't have somebody who's not faculty. So you can't have, like, a Maury Cotter or, you know, some sort of administrative person who knows a ton about Shadbourne and would also be great in this kind of role, but they're not a faculty member.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a person who hasn't gained tenure yet because they, you know, the department would never release, give them the course release, and they have to be working on getting tenure. And if once you find a faculty member who does fit all these things, you have to find a faculty member that understands how housing works and who understands how the university works and has been here long enough to sort of get the culture of this place so that they can be the political interface for Shadbourne.
And who is willing to give up the time commitment.
And, like, the biggest thing, this huge time commitment. They have to be really, 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 really into it. Like, finding those kind of things. I'll just say that word again. Non-trivial.
Non-trivial.
Right.
So was there any kind of a formal thing, or is this just something that Bill and
I think, Bill and Housing really just worked on. And it wasn't the kind of thing that there was a student. Because, I mean, if you had a student search committee, like, students don't know how to look for a faculty person, you know, like they know the kind of faculty people they experience in class, but that's really different than the kind of faculty people that they might know otherwise. And certainly he asked for a lot of people's suggestions. What kind of people do you think, you know, I should look for, blah, blah, blah. So luckily, I think it was like January, and oh, poor Jen and Scott and Bill had some panicky times in not having a faculty director. Finally, Bill came up with Mary Leun, who just like perfect candidate. And, you know, like, so great. I think we're so lucky to have gotten her.
How did he come across?
I don't know.
Had she been involved in Chadbourne?
No, she hadn't been involved in Chadbourne at all. She is a Bradley Fellow.
Oh, wow. So there is
a
connection.
Yeah, there is a connection. So, like, yeah, she knows. She has a housing connection and everything. But.
And she's a professor of.
She's a community, comparative lit.
Comparative lit.
She, very well renowned. And one of the best, always gets rave reviews from students, you know, and. high marks about, and you know, like word of mouth always says, you know, she's one of the best professors, she's so much fun. And so, yeah.
Has she met the students?
She's done, oh yeah, I've definitely met her, and she's done, she was the grand finale for this big long series called CRC America, and it was a series of events that were like, you know, different speakers would come in about different parts of the country, and then the people who went got like raffle tickets, and then eventually like there was a drawing for like a free, like, trip across the country in a train, like a two-person, you know, Amtrak tour of the country. She did this grand finale about like about borders and like borders between, like, specifically, you know, the Canadian and Mexican borders of America, but also just borders between people and sociological type of borders that we encounter, you know, on campus, you know, right here. It was a really great discussion. And so she was sort of the grand finale for that, and that was one formal way that she met students, but she came to forum meetings pretty regularly at the end of the semester. So students met her.
What's your feeling?
I think she's going to be great. I think she's going to be... Okay.
So you said you met her and your first impressions were great. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so Mary Leun is going to be absolutely amazing. She really, like, she's one of those people that, I mean, she walks into a room and she just has this, like, warmth about her, and she just is able to connect with people in just the most incredible way. And she really, really cares about this place, and like everything, every time she goes to a meeting or like goes and has another, like, really, you know, critical interaction with students in Shadbourne, she'll just walk away and be like, wow, you know, I get to do this all year, you know. So she clearly is excited about it. She clearly gets, like, the kind of, you know, why this place is really special, and she knows a lot about housing and about the campus.
From your just speculating, how do you think she's? Is Chadbourne going to be a little different because she's there instead of Bill's there, or is?
Yeah. I think so. Although, you know, like, students have not, like, my first year students don't know Bill this year.
Right.
Yeah, like, yeah. They, you know, that's, he's not a familiar face at all. Especially my friends who were freshmen, when I was a freshman, and they, you know, they went and studied abroad, and now they're coming back, and they've been really close with Bill. They're like, you know, they'll ask, like, one of them, you know, Shira Calvert will ask her younger sister, well, you know, do you see Bill around a lot? And Lisa will say, I don't see Bill at all. People don't see Bill. You know, he's still involved with really involved students.
So this year you really didn't have a faculty advisor presence.
You had a presence, yeah, but it wasn't the same kind.
Not like
it was before. And it wasn't that there was, like, I mean, he really, like, made space for somebody to come in. And he did an awesome job of that. Like, when Mary comes in, I think especially for first year students this year, it will feel like, oh, there's, it will be not like someone's replacing Bill. It'll be like, oh, there's this new person coming in that's going to interact with us in this way. And that, I mean, that's
and
really
the freshmen won't know the difference because they weren't around to begin with.
Pretty much.
How's Bill's loss going to affect Chadburn, do you think?
Well, a year ago, I would have had a really different perspective on this. I was really worried about it. I was really scared, and I was
discussing that.
Yeah, I was. But now I really feel like I can sincerely say that I have a lot of confidence about how Chadburn is a really stable entity in and of itself. It'll change. I don't know. It's hard to say how it's going to change. It changes so much every year that I think that like. That with new first-year students coming in, that it'll just be one more change. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for me personally, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I can't even begin to say how, you know, this place really...
You had a farewell party for Bill the other night. So let's put that on the record for a second. How did that go?
That was one of the most emotional events of my life.
Really?
Definitely. Ton of people came, ton of students came that were here the first year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was great. There were several things that were done. I will never forget it. There was a couple events, just funny performances of like students that he'd always thought were really like performances that he'd always thought were really funny. Like there's this cheerleading thing that a bunch of students do, like this cheerleading farce. It's so funny, and like it's Chadburn personality specific things,
yeah,
you know,
right.
And then like there was this like group of guys that did this, they did, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard about it, it's the thing he's published, 10 Qualities of Liberally Educated Person. Group of students did this whole farce on it, and it was just, you know, very like the kind of thing he loves, like kind of making fun of him a little bit,
kind of thing,
a little bit of a roast, but not really the kind of thing he loves. And it was just hilarious. And then the other thing we did, I came up with the idea of having students, instead of, I've taken Bill's classes, so I also know like about the kind of way that he teaches, and he always talks about how important people's stories are,
mm-hmm.
and how that's how we learn through narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that, you know, Bill's had a lot of like receptions and awards and whatever throughout his life. And so the one thing I said was, you know, we wanted to give you something different, Bill. You know, we wanted to give you something that you could only get from us. And so instead of talking about how great Bill is, which we did a lot,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but like instead of doing that, we had I sent out a call to just a huge list of students, like from the, you know, alumni and students here this year, but mostly alumni, saying, give us short little anecdotes and stories about how, like, an interaction that you had with Bill that represents what he gave to you, or like how much he taught you, or like talk about, you know, what you walked away from Chadburn having because of Bill.
Mm-hmm.
The stories that came back were unbelievable. They were so great. And then we had members of the Chadburn Theatrical Company read the stories, and oh God, the room was just, like, most of the stories were just hilarious, just so funny, and like, you know, you, like the story would be read, and then you'd hear the person at the end, and we all would laugh because we all knew that person, or like they're over in Germany, and like you remember like the kind of personality that they brought to this place, and you know, we'd laugh about it. And then there was a slideshow, and that was, there were few dry eyes in the room, and it was there were probably 50, 70 people there, and it was hard.
Yeah, I'll bet it was hard.
It was hard. Definitely hard for Bill when he got up there and was talking to, didn't keep it together. Yeah.
What's in store for Chadburn down the line? I asked you this question last year too. You see it as
I see it. I see it. I see it definitely as growing, and I see it. The longer I'm here, the more I feel like things are gonna stay here. The more stable I feel like things are, and it's hard to say whether or not Chadburn will be here in 5 years. But I'm much less scared about it than I used to be.
That's interesting. Because
last
year you did express concern about it,
that
was before this first semester.
Yeah. Right. And I still, you know, and maybe I'm just in a more optimistic place, and maybe, you know, next fall I'll be back into the, oh my God, everything's going to be,
maybe because it's spring.
Yeah, exactly.
The lilacs are sort of still in bloom, but not really at this point. I want to end this discussion with a question. Let's go back to Katie Gibbons for just a second. What's your future with CRC? Are you going to be involved with it again next year?
Yeah, I'll be the program advisor. Which is David O'Brien's position this year. And so I'll be in a really different role again. And I have a whole different set of challenges and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, part of it is, like, I feel like I'm getting older and, like, I just have a different relation to this place. And, like, next year I'll be a senior and I, you know, I'll be looking forward to, like, other things.
That's
and,
very natural.
Right. But also, like, it'll be a different thing, like, having, supervising, you know, two different staffs and, like, you know, advising students and just having a really different role. So for me, but, like, I'll still be really connected to this place. And, you know, a lot of my, you know, my best friends, you know, my closest friends are leaving, and, you know, a lot of them are seniors this year and they're leaving this place. They're the ones that I've really, like, grown up with here, and Bill's leaving, and that's a very big deal to me. So it'll be different, but I really feel like I'm really glad to say that I'm really excited about next year.
Well, you know, with you being the new resident,
it's program advisor.
Program advisor. You've probably just talked yourself into yet another interview sometime next spring to see how the next year goes.
Right.
So on that pleasant note for me, I think we'll call it a day. Thank you very much.
All right.
And now you can get back to studying for your finals.
Right, exactly.
All the other stuff one does in May and with Wisconsin.